Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
By the time I was 18, I was just in so much physical pain, bone pain, muscle pain, joint pain, skin pain. In my deep illness, I remember just to fold laundry, I feel like my bones were breaking into like glass. I was gonna die, whether the Western meds killed me first or the disorder killed me, I don't know, I was gonna die. I remember eating this ground bison, and within couple of minutes, it was like this light switch turned on, and I felt immediately bionic. When I got well, it was such a shift. It was such a massive change. I was still me. I was just now me in high definition. We have been so bamboozled. We have been, I don't think the vast majority of people fully understand the depths that we have been undermined. I think we're just, some of us are just starting to even get a glimpse of what it is to actually be a healthy person. I'm ready to talk.
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity. Got my shirt on today. The power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed to welcome Karen to the channel. Welcome, Karen. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm excited. This is my first interview ever.
Oh, wow. No pressure, right?
No pressure. Good thing you're so chill.
Yes, I'm chill. I'm laid back. I heard a little bit of your story, but I want to share more of it with the audience and learn more myself. I'm all about the inspiring carnivore stories. That's why we're doing this whole documentary. So maybe if we could start out, could you tell us maybe a little bit about your background and what led you to a carnivore diet?
Oh, yes. It's a bit of a story. And it has a few different evolutions over time. I will say really quick out the gate that I became well about 13 years ago from multiple autoimmune disorders, from multiple sclerosis, fibromyalgia, thyroid disorders, chronic fatigue syndrome. So I've been on this side of life for 13 years now. And have, of course, because I'm in healthcare, I've been taking patients through that this whole time. And dialing back, I started to have symptoms when I was just 14 years old. And that was a long time ago. I had started a vegetarian diet when I was about 14. I was working in the veterinary field already. I was becoming a veterinary technician and assisting in surgery, and just loved animals. And it just made sense to me at that time to go vegetarian. No one was vegetarian. I was very alone in this. And because of my personality, I sort of ricocheted right into veganism because I'm sort of that all or nothing person. I'm going to, you know, go big or go home. And so very young age, you know, through puberty, I was severely nutrient deficient. And so by the time I was around 16, I was starting to feel pain that my friends weren't feeling. I also have scoliosis, so a lot of that got blamed on that, but I never really felt like that was what it was. And so time passed and I just kept getting worse and worse. By the time I was 18, I was just in so much physical pain, bone pain, muscle pain, joint pain, skin pain, light sensitivity, just complete nervous system. And what was ironic was the health professionals in my life were so impressed with my diet. You know, this is in the 90s, you know, like anywhere from 1993 to 98 around, everyone was just so impressed with my diet and my discipline and my love of eating vegetables. So no one criticized my diet. And so my first diagnosis was fibromyalgia. I think 18. My second diagnosis was chronic fatigue at 19. My 20s were spent like, do you have Lyme? Do you have lupus? Is this a weird thyroid disorder we've never heard of? So just no answers. And I had worked in the medical field since I was young, you know, 14. And then I had gone to massage school for medical and sports massage. And I was in nursing school. I was working for a veterinarian. So I was a very busy person. And that's sometimes what happens with autoimmune is we're still going to show up for our life. So what we're dealing with is very invisible. And, you know, so I was a high achiever person. So on the surface, I seemed fine, but inside I was breaking and oftentimes scared and confused. But I, you know, doubled down into my diet. I'm kind of one of those earlier people on toxicities, meaning I did my best to switch to any sort of natural products, natural skincare. Like I was just kind of early in that world due to, I think, my personal interests. And I already had such a penchant for health that I was already doing all of those things. And I just kept pursuing like my health and the health of other people. So I did, I did the massage training, nursing school. I was pre-vet, but I also wanted to work with people. I tried nursing for a bit, but the system wasn't really for me. And in my pursuit of trying to get well, I found acupuncture because I was working for a veterinarian who was doing that on the animals back in 2000. And so I tried it and I loved it. And I immediately knew that's what I had to study. So I went to Chinese medicine school and became a herbalist, all of the things. And I was getting worse. And I was getting to where two doctors separately had, and granted, this at this point was probably 20 years ago, 18 years ago, when MS was not talked about. It was not a thing. Only people in their 70s got that, not someone in their late 20s. And it was so scary to be diagnosed with that. So I was in school. It was a really stressful time in my life. You know, master's program is no joke. And I didn't really know what to do. So I just I kept pursuing anything I could. I did all sorts of things. I was at the time, I was super big into yoga. I was trying, you know, all kinds of energy healings, the newest supplement, the newest tincture, the newest way to combine food. You know, maybe I'm not juicing right. Maybe, you know, oh wait, blenders break down the nutrients. You need to have this certain type of juicer to really get all of the nutrition. And it was like a just part of my full-time job was nutrients as a vegan. And it was not working. So I graduated from school, opened my practice, and just continued to hurt and be breaking down. And we could go over all of my symptoms, but by the time I got out of school, like I had lost eyelashes, not just hair, which I used to have super thick hair. My hair was so thin. I mean, I lost my eyelashes. We can talk later if to share all the symptoms. It was a myriad. So I'm in private practice. I'm just trying to find any joy I can in life. I had taken up horseback riding again because that's something I had done since I was 10. And I had become so pain adapted, I could just push through anything despite pain. So I remember I was in a lesson and we were, I jumped. I was that person that does the jumping. And all of a sudden I had no legs. I had been losing the use of my legs periodically, transiently, not for long periods of time, but I didn't have legs all of a sudden. And to the point that my brain couldn't even tell my legs how to get off the horse. And that lasted about a half hour. It was incredibly frightening. I didn't tell anybody who was around me at the time. They knew I had back issues. So we all just kind of chalked it up to my back. But finally enough feeling came back into my legs that I could get off, but my legs felt like concrete. And it took every resource of energy I had to just get home. And I got home and I'm that fear. I know what it means when your blood runs cold. So I remember being in my living room. I was home alone at this point. It's like middle of the day. And I just thought to myself, what haven't I tried? What in the world have I not tried? I was very scared of the Western treatments, the Western medication, because I'd had so many severe allergic reactions to Western medication in the past. And so what they wanted to give me, I was afraid of. So I had this question in my mind of what haven't I done? And I thought, I haven't locked myself in a closet with bees to have that bee sting therapy, right? And I heard what I know was the voice of God. I was not in faith, I was not a believer at the time at all. And this voice came to me and it said, reverse engineer your diet. And I sat with that. The voice was so clear. And I thought to myself, well, I've never done that. I knew it didn't mean start eating junk food because I didn't eat junk food. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I hadn't had fast food since I was 18. Like I hadn't had anything like that since I was a teenager.
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
And so I said, okay, what does that mean? And I took it to mean you need to stop eating the way you've been eating. Like, how do I put it? You need to flip your priorities that are on your plate. So vastly decreasing my plant intake, hugely increasing my animal intake. So meat, eggs, butter. So all the things that I hadn't eaten in 22 years. And so I sat, I had to sit with that for a couple of days. Because that went against every single value I had and everything that I thought to be correct about health, everything. So I decided I would do it. Last ditch effort, right? Like, I'm going to die. Like, I knew I was going to die, whether the Western meds killed me first or the disorder killed me. I don't know. I was going to die. So I said, okay, that's how undeniable the voice was. There's no human on the planet who could have told me to do that. And I would have done it. And the first, so I think it was 2 or 3 days later. I just remember it was October 22nd. And like, that's how hard this decision was for me. I remember the day. I remember how I made the decision that the first meat I ate was bison. And I made that decision because at that time, the bison herds were frighteningly decreasing. And actually, one of the ways to get bison herds back was to start bringing them into our food system. And I remember at the time, what I understood to be true about bison is that you can't feedlot them. They're too naturally kind of wild. So they had to stay what we call free range. You know, they had to stay pastured due to the nature of their character. So I thought, okay, I'm going to support that. And that's the meat I'll eat. And so I went to Whole Foods and I got some ground bison. And that was what I ate that morning. I ate it with a little bit of steamed kale, just because, you know, dogma dies hard. And I remember eating this ground bison. And within a couple of minutes, it was like this light switch turned on. And I felt, honestly, I felt immediately bionic. I had cleared my day because everyone had terrified me that if I just start eating meat after having been a vegan for that this long, that I was going to get really sick. And I said, you know, I'm going to clear my day just in case. So I didn't get sick at all. I immediately felt bionic. I had never understood until that moment that I had not felt full in 2 decades. And by full, I mean fed. I mean like satiated, satiety. I wasn't a person with huge gastrointestinal issues, which is probably why it took me so long to understand that it was food, was because my issues were neurological, you know, neuromuscular, not so much the digestive tract, even though I would certainly have my episodes. They weren't like how the other people I knew who had GI issues experienced them. So anyways, I realized that I had just felt bloated for two decades, not actually satiated. The other wild thing that happened, and I literally remember standing in my living room and I looked outside and I was living in a house in a canyon and the trees were out there. And I all of a sudden realized I was seeing green. And I looked around me. I mean, this is within minutes of eating this red meat. I don't even know if I'd eaten a kale, to be honest with you. I can't remember. But I remember just thinking, I'm seeing in color. And I actually called someone and said, I feel like I could jump a building. I can see in color. Because I was so shocked. No sickness. It was a wonderful day. That evening I had brought home, I had gone again. I live close to a Whole Foods, so it was easy for me. And I had no idea how to prepare meat at all. Huge learning curve. And I bought a pastured rotisserie chicken to bring home to share with my husband. I did not share it with my husband. I stood at the counter and tore that thing up with my fingers and shoveled it in my mouth. And I cried the whole time I was eating it because I was not sad. I felt in that moment like I actually understood the interwoven dynamic of life. And I understood that this chicken was saving my life. And I did not look back. I just dove hard into eating meat, butter, eggs. It was incredible. I always supported, for me, because of just who I am as a person, and all that, I did support the pasture-raised animals. It helped me find that middle space. But within 3 months, I mean, every week a symptom was just turning off. And I'll share this. I think so. It was Halloween. So I started this on October 22nd. And on Halloween, I had taken my dog out for a walk and we had to go upstairs to the street. Cause like I said, we were in a canyon and the neighbor had some Halloween candy out. And I remember just looking at it and being like, I do not want that. And I'm not meaning to imply that I was immediately cured of, you know, sugar cravings or carb cravings or anything, just the clarity that had started to come in was so incredible. So anyways, after I saw that, I thought, no, and I was going up the steps and I got to the top of, it was 36 steps and I kept walking and my dog had stopped because she was so used to me having to recover at the top of the stairs and get my legs back that she was just, oh, here's where we sit, you know, and mom pets me. I kept going, and I was like, oh, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, I just went up the stairs and I don't need to recover. It's not like I felt perfect, but I didn't have that like incapacitation. Carrie, I didn't tell anybody. I just thought this is a fluke. I'm just having a good day. It took a while before I talked about this to people. And so my 3 months hit and I was so much better. I had just dropped about 20 pounds of inflammation. Like I said, my hair was growing back. My eyelashes had grown back. I could just, you know, in my deep illness, I remember just to fold laundry. a 10-minute project would break, the pain would, it would feel like my bones were breaking into like glass. And, you know, I'd have to sit or I would sit and my husband would put it away. And, you know, I just didn't need that help anymore. And I love to share the time of year I did this, because right now we're coming into that time of year. And so I did this with, you know, the holiday, with, you know, Halloween for whoever celebrates that. And then I had tons of birthdays, including my own, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, my dad's birthday, you know, New Year's. Just, I did it during the most pleasure food driven time of our whole year. And like, I was so committed and my healing was so profound that I was bringing my own meals to everything. And I'm kind of glad, in a sense, for the dynamic that being vegetarian or vegan gives you, is because you get used to being the weirdo at the table. And I had just coped with that for so long that I'm like, okay, now I'm the weirdo, you know, bringing my own meat that like I chose and prepared, and then not eating the cake and not eating this and that. And so I will say I found a lot of great ways to communicate with others without making them uncomfortable and still being gracious. So thankfully I had already sort of experienced that. So that was probably my smoothest segue. Anywho, a year goes by. I'm strict at this time. So at this time too, paleo wasn't a thing yet. You know, primal wasn't a thing yet. I think Mark Sisson was like just getting going when it was called Mark's Daily Apple, and, you know, ages ago. And he was just starting to talk about this. Dr. Terry Walls, she had done a TED talk called Mind Your Mitochondria. That was the only resource I could find about autoimmune and diet in this way. But she was still really plant driven at the time. And I was like, I am not plants. And it just kept going. And it was funny. One thing that I think, just because I've been in the space for so long, there's a side of healing that in and of itself can be a bit of a challenge, because you become different. You become more you as you heal. And that can change things, you know, in your life. And I actually basically took like a year off from being in practice, which was so weird to me, because I thought if I ever got well, I'd double down in my business, and I could finally do everything I'd wanted to do. But actually, I joked that going through the door of my clinic was like a cat trying to be shoved in a cat carrier to go to the vet. I needed some space to experience me and my body. And so I was able to take about a year off and just revel in being alive. So during the space of shifting into getting well, really just nobody talking about this, you know, in the ways I was experiencing it. And I, of course, had the big question of why. Why did this work? Why did this thing work that isn't supposed to work at all? And so I spent several years just digging. And after about 2 years, I heard the voice again. Still not a believer. And it said to me, 8th grade biology. And so I thought, okay, I'll go back to the core of 8th grade biology. And there I found cell wall, cell membrane. And that blew it open for me. That just connect, like for years, I just dove further down that rabbit hole of cell wall, cell membrane. You know, plant kingdom, animal kingdom. What am I a part of? The animal kingdom. So that just unlocked everything. I was back in, you know, practice, seeing patients and everything and getting more courage to encourage my patients to do this. It was really scary. Again, it was absolutely against the narrative of my medicine and Western medicine. You know, in my medicine, there's a place for meat, absolutely. And, you know, the culture that my medicine comes out of, you know, they sometimes have a joke of if it swims, flies, crawls, hops, burrows, or runs, we eat it. Like that's a deep kind of private joke in that culture. And yet in the way the medicine maybe had been translated and transferred here, you know, China through Europe to here, I think that had gotten lost in translation. So we did see meat as a dose medicinally and in very important times like blood loss or post-surgery or post, you know, after giving birth, but not like all the time. You know, so I was nervous to encourage people to do this, but that nervousness, I did it anyways, you know, I don't really care if I'm nervous, I will do it anyway. But that really drove me into research, that drove me into finding as much as I could. And my patients were starting to have improvements, even if they just followed 30% of my advice, the metric of improvement was unprecedented. It was even to me, I was like, really? And so it kept encouraging me to go deeper. At this time, I was very solidly animal-based. I maybe had in a touch of plants, mostly just for a variety of texture or something like that, but strongly meat-based. However, I hadn't, so this was around, I just want to help everybody follow this time frame because it's a little bit long. This was probably, so around 2017, I was still massively better, but something in me just knew there was more health to be had. I still got a little tired in the afternoons if I'd done a lot. I still, you know, if it was hot, I'd still get a little like swelling around my ankles. I'm trying to remember. I would have a little bit of like stiffness that I just, you know, it's where everyone would say that's just aging. And I will never accept that as an actual answer for anything. And so I actually, weirdly, lean back into plants. This was kind of when Dr. Gundry was getting really, he had just come on the scene and the lectins and everything, but yet he was still promoting plants really big. So it was a little disassociating for me, but I said, okay, well, this is what everyone's encouraging me to do. I'll keep meat in, of course, and keep eating ghee and that, but I'm going to increase my plants and I'm going to start these, you know, powdered plant supplements. I started to dive right back down again. And at the time I was working in a clinic that was really, really big, really like fast paced. You were just booked constantly for hours. And I thought, I cannot do this. I started to think, what meal do I feel just the best afterwards? Just, I can't deny it. And that was surf and turf, right? So steak and shrimp. And I said, all right, I was kind of desperate because I was like, I have to get through these shifts and not and be there. And not only get through my shifts, like I need to be present with my patients. I need to not be distracted by myself or being hungry or being tired. Like I have to be like in lockstep with every patient I'm in a room with. And so I decided, this is 2017, that I was just going to eat steak, shrimp, butter. And I think just, again, to make myself feel better, I kept in blueberries. And I said, I'm going to give this an experiment for a month and see what happened. Oh, and I had started, I have a deformed joint here. This was something that came from my illness. I also have some sort of a connective tissue laxity disorder. It's not as severe as Ehlers-Danlos, but it's enough. So this joint that you can see is deformed was hurting so bad. Like I wanted to cut my finger off. It was just on fire all the time. And I was an acupuncturist and this is, you know, my dominant hand. So I decided for a month, I'm going to experiment with steak, shrimp, some blueberries, you know, obviously butter. And I remember driving to work probably 2 days after starting this, grabbing the steering wheel to drive in and no pain. You know, I know I was already really set up well because my diet was very clean, very, you know, responsible and all of that. So the minute I moved that lever a little bit, I got an immediate benefit just because of how I was already set up. So I did this for a month. I felt amazing, but I was also really scared again, because like who eats steak every single day and multiple times a day? And I'm talking like a 10, 12 ounce ribeye twice a day is what I was eating. So a month goes by, I'm feeling amazing, but now I'm nervous. So I was driving into work. I was listening to a podcast. It ended and it like spontaneously just played something else. It was actually Ben Greenfield. And it was one of Dr. Saladino's first interviews ever. He was 6 months into carnivore for his eczema. And all of a sudden it just starts to play. And this was right at the moment where I was like, I have to step this back. Like I'm feeling incredible, but I can't keep doing this. Immediately, there's Dr. Saladino, like expressing exactly what I was going through, because he was also nervous. He was taking his blood every single week. Because he was so nervous to just eat meat and drink water. But he was having this amazing healing. And during that interview, he just touched on so many things that I knew to be true, that I had come to understand over these years of going back to eighth grade biology. And I tell you what, it was absolutely from God. Again, still not a believer. And I was refreshed and invigorated. And I just was like, I am eating this. Carnivore wasn't a term yet. It wasn't, I mean, he was the only person I could find. I know, I can't remember if Kelly Hogan had started quite yet, although I found her pretty quickly. But I was really just doing this. And more people like on paleo and primal. So it wasn't like quite too shocking. And, you know, I just went from there and experienced, so from 2017, amazing, just like, and let me say, I was not going through an unstressful life. I, from 2015 until last year, had apart from just 2020, right? Apart from being a practitioner who stayed open and never closed and took on more patients than was healthy because no one else was open. You know, there was no shortage of stress, not only from what was going on in the world, but also just navigating some events in my personal life. And so I want to share that just because it's not like I had this super stable personal life. And yet, in spite of really catastrophic periods of truly catastrophic stress, the diet, the level of nutrition my body had just held me just was, it was so profound. I don't know who could go through some of the situations I had to face, including what we all had to face, and gotten through it so well, and we can talk a little more about the impact of stress even when you're eating well. But I had a couple of years ago, I'm almost done, by the way.
No, you're good.
Okay. A few years ago, like maybe 4 years now, I was eating mostly like 80-20, you know, 80% carnivore, and here and there, and I think in a sense, I had sort of reached that place where I could have a little bit of rice cooked in bone broth, or a bit of, you know, my favorite food is Indian food. And so a little of that. And again, absolutely no alcohol, nothing crazy, but like I could have a bite of a birthday cake and just nothing would happen. But that's where sort of another tipping point happened, was because the stress started to be, was so high for me, 2021, 2022, even a little bit into last year, even, all around. And I personally had essentially like no downtime in my life at all for years. Literally no days off, not just in my career, but in my life, my little farm, my ranch, et cetera. And that started to take a toll. Plus I did go through menopause. And so, in this last year, I got strict again. I dialed it all back, carnivore, and just, I'm so good again. And, I have to go to full carnivore right now, and, you know, maybe for the rest of my life, I don't really care. Because I am not getting any younger. And I did go through inordinate amounts of stress and menopause at the same time. So my body right now is just saying to me, hey, I only want the best. Like, please stop messing around. I'm serving you so well. Just give me what you know I love, please. And so that's where I'm at. I will say, despite all of the stress, and being around 80-20 with my diet, my menopause was very easy. Very mild hot flashes. I mean, I had a few waves that were big in the very beginning, but very mild hot flashes. And now that I've fully gone back to carnivore, they're gone. They're just, they like, whoop, like just a switch turned off. So there's a lot of nuance, of course, because all of our lives are very dynamic, but that's the overarching journey I've been on, for a very long time. And I'm, you know, glory to God, I did come into faith. This Christmas will be my 2-year anniversary. I did come into faith. Finally, he gave me enough good wisdom that worked, and I and a few other things came about. It was really quite amazing, but yeah, he convinced me.
Wow, your story is incredible. When you mentioned earlier kind of getting the message to change everything, like flip everything over completely, was that for you, was that kind of like intuition, but now you think maybe that was God giving you a message?
You know, it's a trip, is I knew at the time it was God. I was definitely in a very new age perspective of the universe and all of that. And at the time, I very much just saw Christ as a really, really, really good person. And I knew, I was never an atheist. I knew that there was just a higher intelligence, a bigger intelligence. And that was always fine for me to say and reference and consider myself that I knew it. But that particular message, voice, if you will, was so clear doesn't even begin to describe it. And I had heard it before when I was an intern. On my first day in my internship, so this was probably two or three years. Oh, no, this was before that. So that happened in The Voice was like around 2013. It's in my bio. But around then, but in 2007, when I was becoming an intern, I was so scared of getting sick. We were all like, that's what medical training does to you. Not everybody, but you can become a tad paranoid. And especially in my medicine, everybody had their special like practice they did before seeing patients so that they didn't like catch their energy. I'm air quoting in the screen. And, you know, they would do their Tai Chi or they would do their visualizations or they would use their essential oils. And I was always a pretty streamlined person. So I showed up for my first ever shift seeing patients and I didn't have a thing to do. So I was so scared. My first patient, she was so sick, like snotting, sweating, flu. This was a community clinic. Anybody could come in. She was just so ill. And I'm treating her and I'm doing facial points and she just sneezes like into my face. And the voice of God came and he says, this is trippy. He said, mind your own business. I still get chills. That still brings chills to me. And it was almost like I was having a telepathic conversation. And I said, what do you mean? And the voice said, this is her process. This is not yours. You are facilitating what she is seeking out, and that's it. This is between me and her. And I was like, I mean, I can still feel it in my brain, like how my brain felt at that moment. I have never since that moment, I have never been drained by a patient, made sick by a patient, had issues with a patient. Because I am there and I am the tool, but it's not me. And I knew that even then, and I accepted that. And I was like, I don't mean this at all as a brag. I mean it as accurate. This is the data that came out of me agreeing to that concept was, I think I was something like the second or maybe even the first most heavily booked intern. And I even had to keep interning after I was done, just to finish catching out my patients. And boy, I was just off to the races because I was freed. I was liberated from all of this extra work, even though I was still very sick. I was so sick I'd have to bring a change of clothes, another shirt and lab coat, because the pain I was in would make me sweat. And I would have to change sometimes during my shift. Just because I'd be there, but I'd be like fighting internally my nervous system so hard.
I had someone tell me once, they said, when we pray, we're talking to God. And when it's intuition, it's God talking to us. And I've had a couple moments, just they give me shivers, like you said. One of them was 30 years ago where it was intuition, but it was just such a powerful message. It was like changed my whole life, like a decision. Mm-hmm. So anyone watching, when you hear that intuition, you should probably pay attention to it. It's usually pretty important.
Yes. It is clear as a bell and it's not a feeling.
Yeah. Every fiber in my body is like, you got to do this. It's like everything is this right here.
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues.
We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members only videos. We do members only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
Yes, yes.
Your story, you got me emotional there back when you were talking about switching from vegan plant-based. You really, Karen, remind me of my daughter, Emma. She loves animals. She's a helper. I feel like you're a helper. She wants to help people. She wants to help animals. She wants to help people. And she went vegan. She went vegetarian, and then she went vegan. She did it for 5 years. And similar to you, she was suffering and having all sorts of issues. And very similar to you, oh, my goodness, when she first went back to animals, she had a hard-boiled egg. It was like a switch went off, just like you said. And she started crying, but it wasn't sadness. It was joy. Like, this is what I need. Like, finally. And her energy just like noticeably just skyrocketed. It started with the egg, and she went right into meat and beef from there and changed forever. Yeah. But I've got so many questions on. Do you feel there's a lot of people out there that try vegan, plant-based for very good reasons? They have big hearts. And then there's people that are cynical and they'll say, well, you just didn't do it right. It sounds to me like you did it right. Do you feel like there are vegans out there that are doing it right and can do this their entire lives? Or is it just a matter of time before it sort of catches up with them?
Yes, it's definitely a matter of time. And I will say that no one thing is across the board for everybody. That's why as a health practitioner, we have to know our patients. We cannot only spend 7 minutes with people because we have to know them. We have to know, and this is not woo-woo. This is real stuff. We need to know their birth. We need to know what did they navigate in childhood that made them ill. We need to know what stressed them through puberty. Like, we need to know these things because that's how we are accurate in how we advise them, in how we advise their nutrition, their lifestyle, all of this. So I say that because I think that there are a few people on the planet who are doing fine eating a truly omnivorous diet. And I do believe we are omnivores. I do believe we have a big brain and opposable thumbs because we can figure things out and then we can change them. And so we are functionally omnivorous, but we're certainly not ruminants. And you will find people who've had, for whatever reason, either just a healthier life. They grew up in a healthier way. They have inherited strengths, if you will, in their bodies. And so they can navigate a healthy omnivorous diet. There are some people who, again, family history, ancestry, culture, all of that could probably do longer stretches, vegetarian or vegan, again, as long as it's healthy, whole foods, single ingredient. Yet, what I will say is animal proteins and plant proteins are not interchangeable. They're not. It's not my opinion. It's how God made everything. It's none of how I discuss nutrition or view nutrition has anything to do with my opinion. If I had my opinion, I'd happily eat a bowl of broccoli. Like, that would be my opinion. But when we just look at creation, and truly look at it, not from our desire of what we want it to be or how we want it to look, but just look at what it is. It is undeniable that, I mean, you cut me open and I'm a steak, right? Like I am red meat. I am, you know, adipose tissue. I am cartilage and, you know, all of these things are what I am. And that is the literal definition of bioidentical is the animal kingdom. So I think that people can, if they really take it on as a full-time job to be a vegan, I don't want to say a vegan, if they choose to take on the full-time job of eating a vegan diet or eating a vegetarian diet, they need to treat it like it's their full-time job. That being said, they are going to experience some form of health issues, and it may not be what they think is a health issue. So it could be teeth, sensitivity in their teeth.
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members only videos. We do members only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
That's a huge red flag. It could be a slight sensitivity to bright light. That's a huge red flag. It could be I'm an introvert. I get tired if I've spent too much time with people. That's a red flag. So also we tend to mistake some very important health symptoms, and it can get popularly labeled as I'm an empath or I'm an energy worker. So therefore I can't be in all of this energy. You know, these are very popular language in this world where we're trying to justify. And I don't mean justify out of rebellion, because these people, they don't actually know. And I don't even mean to imply that they're ignorant at all. It's just, that's how far we've fallen away from truth. We now have multiple generations who don't understand their own body. So they may think that, oh, I get jittery. It's because I'm around someone who's draining my energy, or it's because I went into this place that had all this artificial clothing and fragrances and now I'm detoxing.
Right.
No, you're jittery because you're protein deficient, you're heme iron deficient, you're blood oxygen deficient, you're brain oxygen deficient, you are electrolyte deficient, or you're in a sense even over in the electrolytes without the substance for them to work off of, like your myelin sheath, which must have cholesterol. And then anyways, that's a whole nother thing. So my medical brain just started going a little.
No, I was going to say the other one too is, or I'm just a jittery person. That's just the way I am. It's my genetics, or it's just, there's just something weird about me that I have these issues. But Karen, do you feel like you've got a second chance at life? Like, what if you didn't find this way of eating? Where do you think you'd be right now?
In the dirt. I'd be dead. At this point, 13 years later, and with how the trajectory was going of my health, either the MS would have started to destroy my autonomic nerve system and my respiratory centers, you know, my heartbeat regulation centers, or I just would have contracted something that I would have just been too vulnerable to. And, you know, there's any number of ways I would not still be in this world.
Sorry, there's a little delay. I was going to say, do you feel like you would have gotten MS if you were eating this way since birth, eating animal-based?
I love this question, and I've never gotten to talk about this yet. I don't know that I would have gotten something as extreme as what we call MS, but I am positive I still would have experienced something like fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue. And I know this to be true for many reasons, is because before I went vegetarian as a child, I had sensitivities that should have been very alarming to medical professionals, because I had, since I was a little girl, my nickname was Princess in the Pea. And that old story of the princess could feel the pea under 20 mattresses. And that's how they knew she was, you know, a legitimate princess. That's that fairy tale. So I got nicknamed the Princess in the Pea because, you know, I was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. And if there's like a wrinkle in my sock, it drove me crazy and I would hate it. I remember my dad putting sunglasses on me as a little kid because I'd be out in the sun just like squinting. I just was sensitive. And I had had, I was born in the 70s, so the vaccines weren't huge then, but we had them. And my mom did tell me I had a reaction. I also was sick with something and I was given penicillin, I think when I was 2, and I had a very terrible reaction to that. So I knew at a very young age, my microbiome was not okay. My nervous system was not okay. I could have had some nerve damage, maybe in my eyes or something like that. So before I had made that choice to go into vegetarian and then veganism, I was eating, you know, my mom cooked dinners and, you know, yes, we had some fast food, but it was special. And I wasn't actually a big meat eater as a kid, but I don't know. I was a little picky. And so I know that before I made this choice, we look back at myself as a child, I had some pretty outstanding health markers. Mm. Yeah. So the standard American diet I'm 48 now. I mean, I would be the classic 48. I would probably be on a low level, some sort of a mood regulating med if I was into that, or I, you know, would have chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia or something like that.
Right. You kind of touched on it already, but if you were to sort of recap,
It's okay.
Sorry, my girls are moving something over there. If you could kind of recap, so the autoimmune disorders, the MS, how are you doing on all those things now? Is it all reversed? Or if you were to just sort of recap, I guess is the question.
Yeah. Yes, everything is gone and, you know, cured. It's that I don't even want to say it's in remission. So if I were right now today to start to eat rice again every day, to start to eat maybe some sourdough bread every day, still eat lots and lots of meat and lots of butter, I wouldn't experience the same level of health I'm feeling right now because of biology, because of my personal life, where I have been so nutrient deprived, so stressed, so overworked, stretched so thin everywhere across the board, that my body remembers. There's no activity of MS or any of these Latin fancy words we want to give to what we're experiencing, just to make us sound so smart. My body does remember that my bank account was in the red, and it's intolerant of me even flirting with going into the red again. And, you know, I think that we could start to get very ticky-tacky about, you know, do I need some really sexy probiotic or whatnot? But for me personally, to run down that road of those, you know, truly microbiotic minutiae, it doesn't feel like a good use of my energy, because I don't know why I would want to eat a slice of sourdough bread apart from how I feel, like my emotions, I mean.
Right.
You know, because listen, I'm into making your own bread 100%, like for sure. Please. I'm loving this whole revolution. But you put a slice of toast on a plate and sure, let's put some butter on it. And you put down a steak. I mean, the steak is gonna, it just wins, period. It just wins because it's bioidentical, it's bioavailable, it's loaded with nutrition. Bread is bread. Bread is glue before you add heat.
Right.
You know?
Your meal you mentioned before was kind of funny. The steak and shrimp and butter. I just recently hit 600 days on carnivore. And I was looking back, and that was like my first week on carnivore. It was steak, shrimp, and a little thing of butter. I was feeling pretty good then. One of the questions I was going to ask you mentioned your husband earlier. What has this been like for him? Because it sounds like he kind of seen you before and now and during and now. And how did that go for him?
Well, that's a very intuitive question for you to ask. We were divorced for 8 years. Wow. We remarried last year. You know, we remarried, what is this? The end of 2020. Yeah, we remarried the beginning of 2023. He was my rock. And pretty much our entire marriage was navigating my illness. He truly was my rock. He kept the finances going. He kept our lives going so I could just navigate my illness and pursue my passion, which was medicine. And when you know someone only in that way and your life is structured in that way, and he is supportive, he then and now, just he's also a helper in his own way. So profound amounts of support. And then when I got well, it was such a shift. It was such a massive change. I was still me. I was just now me in high definition, right? And we have very different personalities, which I love and I'm so grateful for, but we are night and day, apart from the fact that we're helpers, you know? And so as the years went by of me being well, it drove a distance between us, because all of a sudden there was no spotlight on me. And for him, just as a person, he didn't know what to do with the fact that there was this sort of available space in our relationship. And so praise God, it wasn't due to anything heinous. We did end our marriage in 2015. And then when we were able to reunite in 2023, so yeah, just the beginning of last year, it's hard to summarize. As you can imagine, it's been massive and very, very healing for both of us. But as he came back in, he stepped back as a much more mature person who had spent time doing his own work, and now coming back together, God restores. That's what I have to say, is God restores. And he eats carnivore as well. And he has lost 28 pounds, and we just learned he had been diagnosed with early macular degeneration. And we just had eye exams 2 days ago, and she could not find it. It was gone. She's like, and of course this doctor does not think you can heal from that, right? So her thing is it was a false diagnosis, but I know it wasn't, because it was two separate exams had concluded the same thing, and he came worried about it. So that has healed for him. He loves it. He is just rocking life and wow. Very supportive.
That's great. Wow.
Yeah.
In terms of you finding this healing now, it seems like everyone that does this, it's like me in particular, you just can't shut up about it. You talk about it to people. You want other people to feel the same healing. You got a second chance at life. You want other people to experience that. You feel what it truly feels like to be Karen. Like you said, it's like next level. I love how you said that too, by the way. I interviewed a doctor a couple of days ago, Dr. Suresh, and he described carnivore similar to you when he started. He said, I feel superhuman. I feel like a god or something. It's crazy. I hear that from so many people, but I guess my question is, have you been able to, I don't know, influence, other than your husband, influence any other people or help other people find healing through changing their nutrition?
Hundreds and hundreds. Yes. Yes. In my private practice, I've learned, you know, again, I've been working with people in this way for 30 years now. So my ability to connect and have correct language is very refined naturally. Whenever you form your craft, you know, ideally you get to that sweet spot. And so because I did it, I don't tend to recommend anything to anyone else that I haven't navigated myself or experimented with or know someone directly who has. So yes, hundreds and hundreds of people. I've been blessed through working in medicine to do that. And then of course, family, friends. I am definitely a person who can generate a spark. And I definitely love that. I'm not an introvert.
What's it like when someone comes to you and says, Karen, your guidance saved my life?
I mean, there's definitely, as coming as a Christian, it's all glory to God. Before that, for me, it was still that feeling of, and I know we can say this verbally and say it's not me, it's them. But I absolutely mean it from the core. I do not own anyone's healing. And I have felt that forever. I am so, and again, this is not now as a Christian or before, I've had the same posture, which is that, I'm just as fallible and weak as the next person. This just happens to be the path my life has gone down, and whatever nature I was given at birth to be a pursuer, a relentless, tenacious pursuer. And I just have to share it, but I can't share anything unless the other person says yes. Their yes is why they're well. And if I got the gift and privilege to be any part of that, I am deeply touched and overwhelmed. And I don't really know, for me, if anything else in this life is worth more than that.
Right.
Because we have been so bamboozled. We have been, I don't think the vast majority of people fully understand the depths that we have been undermined. It is, I think we're just, some of us are just starting to even get a glimpse of what it is to actually be a healthy person. It's ridiculous. Right. So it gives me joy. But it's their yes. I can do nothing for anyone else.
I love that answer. I've been experiencing it a little bit, or people will come to me and say, oh, it's so great that you did that for them, or you put that video out. And I've been saying the same thing you just said, all glory to God. And it's the most amazing feeling in the world. And I'm getting more out of it probably than them. But yeah, just like you said, it's like, there's so many people. It's almost like we're like, here's a scary path to go down. And most people won't go down the path and they won't do it. But these individuals decided to do it. I'm thinking of my friend Bill in Alaska, for example. Mm. People have said that. So good what you did for Bill, everything you did for Bill. I'm like, Bill did it. Like, he did the incredibly hard work. And by the way, he did it all by himself. Like, he knew about carnivore already. There's a little bit of encouragement and stuff like that. But he ultimately did the hard work where most people wouldn't. Doing this documentary has been really hard. And something you said earlier reminded me of it. At one point, I don't know if this was intuition or God or what, but it realized that this is just bigger than me. It's like, just put the camera there, get these stories and share these individual stories. It's bigger than me, but I don't think there's anything bigger or more worthy in life than even if it's in some little way influencing people or showing them the path and then they take the path to be a part of that. Yeah. It's just incredible. I can't believe we've been talking for over an hour now. I could talk to you for a couple hours.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got another call coming up shortly. But do you have anything else you want to talk about or mention? And open invite. I'd love to do this again sometime.
Me too. I've been, the second I found your podcast, I actually knew that I was going to be on it. This is like months and months and months and months ago. And I didn't know how, but it was very clear that I wouldn't have to organize it myself. And then, you know, lo and behold, I now work for Integrated Health Foundation because of Malia's interview.
You were mentioning that before. That just blows my mind. So for those that don't know, Malia was on the channel. Awesome. A couple times now. Awesome. So you saw that video and that's how we're here talking now.
Yes. The Holy Spirit, I wasn't listening to that much carnivore content because I'm in it. So there wasn't a whole lot coming out that I'm like, wow, that's so new. And so, you know, just naturally, I wasn't listening to too much. But here and there, I was listening to some of the interviews you were doing and the inspirational interviews. They're just really nice. And her podcast came up like pretty much right when you had uploaded it. I was like making breakfast or something. And I don't know why, even the title itself typically wouldn't have intrigued me to the depths, but I saw it and it was like, I feel like the Holy Spirit just came in and made it like Christmas morning. Like, you have to watch this. And so I did. And Malia, I had like stars in my eyes. I was just fangirling her so hard. And because the way she was talking about the information was she knitted so much together that I'm like, thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yes. It was like, oh my gosh. I felt like I was listening to me. And I don't mean that as a compliment to myself. I mean it in the sense that like, this was such a God orchestrated moment. that I just spent Saturday like, how do I get in contact with her? And we talked on Monday and just got to know each other. I really just wanted a friend. and then I spoke and then I was segued to the owner and we hit it off and it was just the perfect moment. I'd recently sold my practice because I was dealing with a fairly significant back injury. And with my new marriage, I just really needed a little bit of space. So I had sold my practice and was sort of in a space where I was ready to get back into seeing patients. I hunger for it. I have to do it. But I had promised God I wouldn't break a hole through a wall in order to make a door, which is my normal way of doing things. I would wait until he had... It was so clear. I had to wait until it was so clear, but I was getting itchy to work again and connect with people. And so I, just very recently joined. And so now I'm leading the nutrition aspect of the program with these other, it's a dream. These people, the integrity of these people is unmatched. I am just floored.
Yeah. I absolutely love what IHF is doing. I'll have a link in the description below for more info if people want to learn more. But your story is just so incredible too, because carnivore was like really hard for me and people around my time. And that's with all of these resources in YouTube. It's like you had to kind of figure this out on your own, just kind of step into it yourself. And now here you are. That's just incredible. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. Open invite. We'd love to do this again sometime, or maybe do a live stream. We could talk more because I got more questions and things like that. But
I would love it. I'm ready. I'm ready to talk.
Thank you so much, Karen. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. It was a pleasure to meet you, and I love your family, and I'm so proud of your wife.
Oh, thank you so much.